a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Thursday, the 28th of April. And we welcome you to the broadcast today. As always, we want to hear from you if this is your first time joining us live here on End Time Headlines on Facebook Live or on a rebroadcast this on whatever platform you may be joining us. Please let us know in the comment section below if you are new to the broadcast and where you guys are joining us from. As always, we want to encourage you to download our free app if you've not done that yet. If you're watching live, at the end of this segment, they're in the description. There's a place that says download our free app. There's a link under it. Just simply click on that link and it's going to take you to a page where you can click on app or Android, depending on whatever device you have. You can get your app free today. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this on Spotify or Apple or Rumble or YouTube, whatever the case may be, again, go to the Apple store, go to the Android store, type in End Time Headlines, download our free app so that you can keep up with all of our headlines, news, updates, and our latest podcast. Today, we've got an interesting subject. I want to talk about new wave of pestilence and the perfect storm of disasters that is intensifying the global food shortages. So that's our topic of discussion today. Many of you may or may not know. If you've kept up with the headlines, you'll know that there is some weird and bizarre what the Bible would define as pestilences that are emerging around the globe. And again, scripture points this out, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all talk about pestilences that will be one of the precursors or the signs of the end times in regarding the Bible prophecy. So again, over the past few weeks, we have witnessed how rapidly outbreaks of pestilences or diseases can spread. A few confirmed cases in one part of the world can become a true global pandemic in just a matter of weeks, per se. And once this pandemic begins, it can be with us indefinitely. We saw that with COVID. In fact, after more than 2 years of dealing with that alone, health authorities are now admitting that it is going to be with us for many years to come. Or in other words, this is going to be something that we're going to have to live with and go on with everyday life tackling this disease. Regardless of all of our advanced technology and methods that we use to combat it, the truth is that we are exceedingly vulnerable. But I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk about, I want to give credit. Again, this is Michael Snyder put this together from the end of the AmericanDream.com. Now, we've reported on these individually. What he did was put them all together in one blog or one article. So he made it real easy to cross-reference this. So we want to give him credit for this. But I want to give you these five new pestilences that are now circulating the globe. One is, and many of you guys will know about this because we've talked about this, this unexplained hepatitis.
A mysterious hepatitis outbreak is sending kids to the hospital, killing at least one child, according to health officials. The majority of infections popping up in the UK, while here in the States, two have been recorded in North Carolina and another nine in Alabama.
And the main reason the concern is high is because one is children, and two, the source is unknown.
Hepatitis refers to inflammation of the liver and can cause vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea, and a key indicator, jaundice. So far, the World Health Organization has tallied 169 cases among mostly healthy kids, 10% needing liver transplants. Experts say the overall number of hepatitis cases is relatively small, but the circumstances are unusual. Nearly half of the hepatitis patients tested positive for adenovirus, which is commonly linked with colds. Dr. Helena Gutierrez was one of the first people to notice the concerning trend in Alabama.
When the first case came up showing that it was adenovirus, we said, all right, this is odd. We routinely don't see it again in a healthy kid. So I think by the time we got the third, we said, wait, this is different.
The CDC is urging providers to be on the lookout for hepatitis in kids and for parents.
Not a time to panic, not a time to be overly concerned, but just keep an eye on your child. If you have any issues or any questions, simply talk to your doctor.
The unexplained outbreak compounding concerns amid the pandemic.
So we've got this going on. And again, they don't know what's causing it. They can't find the source for it. They can't identify the culprit. And this is an ongoing, mysterious situation that's taking place. And again, the World Health Organization is warning parents across the globe to not ignore signs and precursors that are leading to this. Then we have what's called the Japanese encephalitis.
Cases of a rare tropical virus known as Japanese encephalitis have been detected in Australia, and one man has now died. The Federal Health Department has declared the outbreak an incident of national significance. The virus, Japanese encephalitis, is spread by mosquitoes. Normally the virus lives in water birds, but it's also common in pigs and horses. The virus can infect humans, but importantly, you can only catch it from infected mosquitoes. It does not spread from person to person. You also can't catch it from eating pork, but pigs are an early warning for the virus. That's because if pigs get infected, they tend to get a lot of the virus in their blood and can infect mosquitoes feeding on them. That's a danger for people who spend a lot of their time working around pigs. Piggeries are advised to be on alert.
Any reproductive loss or any signs of fever in their pigs. In horses, they should be looking out for any signs of encephalopathy. So any signs of confusion, dizziness, muscle weakness, loss of direction.
If you get infected, 99% of people will experience no symptoms at all. For those who do get symptoms, they can include a sudden onset of fever, headaches, and nausea. In serious cases, it can lead to swelling of the brain and can be deadly. Of those who do develop serious symptoms, the fatality rate is around 25 to 30%. The virus has only been previously detected in Australia's northern tip, and no one is sure how it made it onto our shores again. There are 7 serious cases in Australia, and 1 person has died in Victoria. Cases in pigs have also been picked up in the southeast. The government has acknowledged climate change is playing a part, with birds changing their flight paths to come further south, bringing the virus with them.
So we've got to understand that these changing climate also brings some of the risks with it. And that brings risks that, particularly in southern parts of Australia, we haven't seen before. We should be concerned about this, but not alarmed. We need to be vigilant.
The best way to protect yourself is avoid getting bitten by mosquitoes. Insect repellent is advised, so is wearing long sleeves and pants, and staying away from areas which attract mosquitoes, like stagnant bodies of water. With devastating flooding along parts of the east coast of Australia, that may prove more difficult than usual.
Quote, it will impact pork supply. And again, what are we talking about today? All these bizarre chain of events, the perfect storm that continues to take blow after blow after blow on the food supply. So now we saw the poultry industry that's ongoing being hit by being struck by this bird flu. Then you have the beef industry that keeps getting recalled because of E. coli fears and this and that. Then you have the egg shortages because of the poultry. And now you have pork, pork that's being impacted. In fact, pig farms or suppliers are experiencing production losses of up to 80%. There are now 30 new South Wales piggeries, is what they call it here, affected by the mosquito-borne virus, and 11 people have been infected with 3 deaths nationwide, according to a new report. Japanese encephalitis is endemic in other parts of the world, but it has never, now listen to this, it has never been seen this far south in Australia. The North Southwest, or the NSW Department of Primary and Industries, Chief Veterinary Officer Sarah Britton said it had been a stressful time for pig producers. Quote, they have had impacts on production, up to 60 to 80% of production impacted in some sites alone. Then I want to move on. Then number 3, Ebola is back in some places of the world. In Central Africa, at least 2 people have already died as a result of the latest outbreak. Ebola, according to reports, has claimed its second victim in the Democratic Republic of Congo amid a fresh resurgence of the deadly virus. Then you have number 4, you have the H3N8 bird flu. In the U.S. alone, more than 28 million chickens and turkeys have already been wiped out since the first case was confirmed.
New this morning, the bird flu has spread to another Iowa county, this time in north central Iowa. Kossuth County is now the 14th to report an outbreak.
So the Iowa Department of Ag says the virus was found in a non-commercial backyard flock, so this outbreak won't impact egg prices the way the others have. So we haven't heard what kind of flock it is, or how many birds will have to be destroyed.
Iowa is still the hardest hit by the virus, with more than 13 million birds destroyed. Buena Vista County accounts for 4 outbreaks and roughly 5.5 million of those losses.
So those high numbers are also led to layoffs at one egg-producing facility. Rembrandt Enterprises in Storm Lake let 135 employees go. And dozens of other states are battling the bird flu as well. So only the West Coast and Southern states, minus Texas, have yet to report an outbreak.
If this bird flu jumps to humans, this would be a worst case scenario, because the CDC says the death rate for the bird flu in humans can be as high as 60%. And what's crazy is the Chinese government, I know that's hard to believe, that China would report something crazy coming out of their country. But nevertheless, they have confirmed the first human infection with the H3N8 strain of bird flu.
Moving over to China, which has reported the first human infection of the H3N8 bird flu. It had previously been detected only in horses, dogs, birds, and seals. Health authorities on Tuesday said the risk of the spread is low and that the bird flu strain did not yet have the ability to effectively infect humans. A 4-year-old boy was confirmed with the flu after developing symptoms on April 5th. Health officials said he had been in contact with chickens and crows, and close contacts of the boy have reportedly not been infected. China sees occasional infections of bird flu in people, usually in the poultry industry, as the country has various strains of the virus.
And then number 5, there is some type of mystery disease killing horses in Colorado.
We begin tonight with a troubling development in the federal government's controversial roundup of Colorado's wild horses. We have learned 67 of those horses have died from an unknown illness. The horses are from 2 herds roaming in northwestern Colorado. They were captured by the Bureau of Land Management during large-scale roundups last year. More than 1,100 horses were captured, 684 from the Sandwash Basin, another 457 in the area of West Douglas. The BLM says the land can no longer sustain those animals. Alan Janae has been following this new development Development Force joins us now. And Alan, you talked with the BLM tonight.
Well, Karen, these horses affected are among 2,500 at the Canyon City Wild Horse and Burro facility. The West Douglas area is west of Meeker, described as a pretty rough place for horses. The San Wash Basin is north of that in northwest Colorado. Now, the horses began to show signs of illness late last week, and the decline is rapid. They've run wild and free, but here in pens at the state prison where inmates care for them, the horses in captivity are struggling.
We don't really know what it is yet.
The Bureau of Land Management says the disease broke out among horses that have been there since they were brought in late last summer. It has respiratory and neurological effects.
Trouble with breathing seems to be one of the initial symptoms that we observe, and some of the relatively quick onset and then death of these horses seems to be tied in with their nervous system.
Veterinarians are gathering blood and tissue samples and doing necropsies on horses lost. Yeah. The whole concept of collecting wild horses has generated opposition among some for years, and critics are piping up.
The bigger picture is if there weren't roundups, they wouldn't have the confinement and we wouldn't have this contagion.
Is there any indication that placing these Mustangs into common areas has led to this disease?
It's certainly safe to say that when you congregate horses, just like people, there's greater chances of infection spreading in those congregated groups. So that's absolutely the case.
The BLM is isolating horses that may have been exposed from other corrals and has canceled planned adoptions, while the disease remains a mystery.
So you got this going on that, again, is impacting the global food supply. Now, when you couple this with what's continuing to happen with Russia and Ukraine, in fact, according to a latest article, the Ukraine war is about to cause the largest, and I quote, the largest price shock in over 50 years in every household across the planet will be impacted.
The war in Ukraine is creating a food crisis not seen since World War II. Ukraine is considered the world's breadbasket, along with Russia producing 30% of the world's wheat exports. Farmers are supposed to plant this year's wheat crop in the coming weeks, but now these farms have turned into debris and missile fields.
We were covered with dust, just dust and shrapnel all the way here. I fell to the ground, crawling, not feeling my legs or arms. It was scary. For those who have not gone through this, you would not believe it. It's been unfortunate for all of us. Basically, everything has shut down, and we aren't working now.
Farmers say the cost of fuel and grain seeds have skyrocketed. They also say it's difficult to find parts to repair farm machinery.
Quote, we're particularly worried about the poorest households since they spend a larger share of income on food and energy, so they're particularly vulnerable to this price spike. The senior economist at the World Bank added, quote, energy prices are set to increase more than 50%. Now think about that when you think about the last time you got your energy bill, your grocery bill, your gas bill, pushing up bills for households and businesses around the globe. Policymakers should take every opportunity to increase economic growth at home and avoid actions that bring harm to the global economy. The CEO of Goya Foods recently came out in an article on an interview on Fox Business Network and said that, quote, we're on the precipice of a global food crisis.
Americans especially getting hit hard at the grocery store. The price of items like dried beans, canned vegetables, flour, all up better than 10% from the same time just 1 year ago. Joining me right now is the president and CEO of Goya Foods, Bob Unanue. Bob, it's good to see you. Thanks very much for being here. Assess the situation. How do you see inflation today?
Good to see you, Maria. We are on the precipice of a global food crisis. God created humanity. Humanity has created every way to destroy itself, from nuclear, biological, chemical. But now we've waged a war. We've weaponized food. In the Ukraine, between the Ukraine and Russia, they represent 50% of the world's production of fertilizer, 30% wheat, 20% corn, 2.5 million acres of sunflowers, other food and minerals. They also have sand for fracking, sand for glass. And, you know, they have, what Russia's doing with their land bridge, they're also cutting off the Ukraine to the sea. They've taken Mariupol, pretty much. Odessa is left. If they cut off Odessa, then they basically landlock the Ukraine, and they can't export. They can't either plant. Right now, we're in the planting season in southeast Ukraine, where all these products are grown. They've attacked irrigation systems. They've attacked train systems. And they've sent millions of women and children into exile. Well, the U.S. is the largest, one of the largest producers of food, but we're also the largest consumers. But if you interrupt the production of fertilizers and other crops around the world, it's gonna disrupt that. So, you know, we need to, the problem is we've outsourced a lot of, besides food, a lot of other things, and that's driven up the cost of things, from drugs into China and chips.
Yeah.
I was hearing this morning about Ford. You need 3,000 chips in a car to make the new Ford 150. And we're not making chips.
That's
we're
right.
depending on others. We're depending on others for food. We have the food.
Well,
we will
well,
be.
We've been talking.
It's not as big an issue here.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about this reliance now for several years. I do not understand why we're not seeing more progress. I mean, why we are reliant on the CCP, America's number one adversary, for our prescription drugs is just mind-boggling. 70% of the underlying components of our prescription drugs are made in China. Bob, I mean, it's outrageous, but we're going to keep a spotlight on it and hope that Americans understand these issues. Bob Unanwe, thank you, sir, for your part in all of this. President and CEO of Goya.
And you say, okay, Brother Ricky, we have heard this, and we've heard this, and we're beating a dead horse, and we're just taking up the bat, and we're swinging more at the dead horse. Look, again, maybe where you live, you've not yet felt the pinch of this. But I'm willing to bet that most people that are watching live or by the rebroadcast of this in some way, form, or fashion, whether it's at the pump, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's their electric bill, their energy bill, whatever the case may be, I'm willing to bet that you are already seeing the increases that are hitting your pocketbook. So I'm telling you, we can choose to bury our head in the sand and call it fake news or fabricated or whatever the case, but this is happening whether you like it or not. I'm not here to debate who's behind it, who's causing it, who's orchestrating it. We'll let you decide that. All I'm saying is, again, what I'm doing today is I'm putting the puzzle pieces on the table, and I'm hoping that you have enough wisdom and intellect and discernment to put the puzzle pieces together and get the big picture that I'm painting for you today. Now, having said that, something bizarre in my book has really, and it has been happening around the world as well. And it even captured the attention of even some talking heads and pundits and even conservative news outlets. One was Tucker Carlson, who even talked about this. And that is this situation with all these fires that are and disasters that are taking place at food processing facilities across not only the United States, but around the globe. Now, guys, listen, the last thing we need when we're already having shortages is fires, collapses, or whatever disasters that are hitting major food distribution or processing facilities. But this is exactly what has happened. Very early, Over the last couple of weeks, listen to me, 16 major fires have occurred since the beginning of January of this year. And more continue to take place. In fact, recently firefighters were called out to battle a fire at a General Mills facility in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. According to the report, a fire early in the morning at General Mills led first responders to the roof of the company to attack the flames from above. The call came in around 3:45 a.m. on early Saturday morning at the plant located at 4800 Edgewood Road Southwest. Again, this was in Iowa. First responders discovered hot spots where a vent stack makes contact with the roof. Steam and smoke were already visible, and crews reached the roof and confirmed the location of the fire below them with the help of thermal imaging. Firefighters removed roofing material and found the flames were working their way through the ceiling and traveling within the vent stack. Oddly, this fire erupted less than 48 hours after a plane crashed at a General Mills facility in Covington, Georgia. Guys, that is literally within driving distance of where I live.
Yeah, it certainly is. We are waiting for the FAA and the NTSB to show up here at the crash site as they try to work to determine exactly what caused this plane to go down in the first place. The crash set off explosions and sent thick smoke into the air.
Dude, it's a plane.
The twin-engine Cessna went down Thursday evening, killing both people on board. The plane slammed into some trailers on the property of the General Mills cereal plant, just a couple hundred feet away from the Covington Airport.
There was engine trouble. Suddenly the plane veered to the right and immediately came straight down.
Roger Boyd saw the plane crash as he was driving down the road.
Maybe 40, 50 yards up in the air. It wasn't high at all. It was just above the tree line.
Boyd pulled into the plant to see if he could help. He tells us both the plane and the trailers it hit were engulfed in flames.
Fire started almost immediately.
Covington police say they've recovered one body from the crash site. The other remains in the wreckage. The victims' names haven't been released.
Less than a week ago, the headquarters of Azuri Standard burned to the ground in a massive fire, according to CEO David Stelzer, who is admitting that all, I believe it's spelled Uzur or Uzure, E-A-Z-U-R-E, Market Liquid Productions, will completely be out of stock for the foreseeable future as a result of the disaster. And just a few days before that, a four-alarm fire destroyed a very important food processing facility in California.
This is in Salinas, a huge fire at a food processing plant. This is for Taylor Farms. And right now there are concerns about a huge plume of ammonia coming from this area. And they have an evacuation in the immediate area as well as a shelter in place all the way out to Highway 68. Now emergency authorities are warning us that they could end up closing down parts of 101 in Salinas. Again, this is in Monterey County. This food processing plant went up late last night and it's just grown. It looks like it is a total loss right now. We've seen several roofs collapsing. This was in a cold storage processing plant where apparently a welding project sparked a fire in a wall and that eventually spread to the attic of this huge facility. No people or produce were inside the plant.
The FBI recently came out and warned that we need to be on alert for ransomware attacks and even against local farmers and grocery chains, whether it's dairy, poultry, cattle, or farms that grow grain. Farming is a key part of Pennsylvania's economy, and that's one state alone. And again, there was a report of nearly a dozen wildfires that roared through the key agricultural areas of Nebraska. A Firefighters across much of the state of Nebraska continued to mop up nearly a dozen wildfires and remained alert for more. But on Sunday morning, the Road 702 fire in the Cambridge area covered 50,000 acres, a much larger area than 33 acres burned in April 7th through the 9th fire in Gosper and Furnace counties. A management team from the Rocky Mountain area took command of the battle at 7 a.m. Sunday morning, and a total of 20 wildfires are ripping across New Mexico. And by the way, West Virginia, New Mexico, Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. And I'm going to read on here. Again, all these things, all these places, guys, that are seeing these, again, over 16 different locations. Fires, plane crashes, disasters, again, wildfires, whatever the case would be. And they're all in, again, every one of them involve food distribution. Now, again, what am I talking about? I'm putting puzzle pieces together here. I'm talking about the perfect storm of events is not letting up. We're not getting a reprieve. We're not getting any reprieve whatsoever. In fact, if anything, this thing is being spring forward. It's being springboarded and it's being accelerated more intensely. And leading economists are warning. The United Nations is warning. The world leader of the World Global Food Bank is warning. All of these are warning of ongoing food shortages, famines, disasters. And now they're saying there was a report that we reported today on endtimeheadlines.org, on endtimeheadlines.com, where now leading economists are saying that we have now entered into a global recession. What does that mean? That means the train per se, the train that's on the tracks that's carrying everything. I'm talking about production. We're talking about retail, industrial, grocery, manufacturing, trading. The train that's carrying this whole thing is now coming to a stop. It's slowing down. The wheels are starting to slow down on the train. Now, this isn't just America. This is nothing like 2008, guys, with the quote-unquote Great Recession. This is not centralized to the United States or America. This is global. We're talking about on a global scale. This is something that we've not seen at least since World War I, World War II. And this is happening on our watch and our lifetime. And if the forecasters are correct about everything that they have been warning about, then we, guys, we are merely at the door of this. Because when we get to the fall months and the winter months, that's when I believe you're going to see this thing rear its ugly head. And we're going to see things again that we've never seen before. Now, again, this is chilling to me because I remember months ago, and it was around 2 o'clock in the morning, I felt like the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I posted this on our ETH Facebook page. So this was made public. It's out there. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, within the next six months, our generation is going to face something that we have never faced in our lifetime. And now, this was before all this started coming ahead. I now feel like what I was feeling that night and what came on me, that burden, and why I blogged about that and talked about that, now I feel like we're seeing this starting to come to head. So guys, we're living in perilous times. This is all biblical. Perilous times will come. Troubling times will come. Darkness shall cover the earth. Famine, pestilence, plagues, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places, disasters in various places. The great reset, picking up speed. Listen, as the economy, the train of the economy is slowing down and coming to a screeching halt, I'm telling you, this train of the great reset, that is picking up speed like never before. And it's coming, and it's coming quick. And we have to be prepared physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and set our houses in order. Again, this is coming as just one of many watchmen have been warning, have been talking about, and we have been sounding the alarm about it. Now, this is not to promote fear, but this is to promote preparedness. Again, I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is surely drawing near. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be where you can find us. That's where you can subscribe. That's where you can download our free podcast available on Apple and Android. Listen, as always, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, revelation, equipping to you and your family on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry with a gift of any amount, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart. You can do that today. You can make it out. You can do that by going to our app, give it electronically, or go to the main website and give electronically, or you can do it by check or money order, and it's right there on your screen. If you're listening by podcast today, you can make that check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, we thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate you coming on to the broadcast. Again, don't forget to share this with your loved ones, your family, your friends, your coworkers, those that are interested and have interest in eschatology, their end times, or the signs of the end of the age. Inform them with these podcasts. Don't forget, again, we're on YouTube, we're on Rumble, we're on these major platforms. Don't forget to subscribe as well. Guys, listen to me. We're going to sign off for today. This morning in my devotional time, I got a word that I've never taught or preached on ever in 22 years. I want to share that with you tomorrow to close tomorrow's broadcast of this week's podcasting. So again, tomorrow, brand new message. Got to download today in my morning devotional time. I want to show you a parallel that's in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that's going to parallel with something that's coming in the end times during the tribulation, or even before the tribulation. God only knows, but I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, there's a picture. And again, remember Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. That which was is that which shall be. There's always these clues in the Bible. God, Satan will always show his hand, listen to me, his agenda, but God will also reveal hidden things to the believers. And we're going to talk all about that tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. So be watching for that tomorrow. So until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance be upon you. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.